Welcome back to our study of Galatians as we are almost to the end of chapter 5 into 6, and we've entered into the part of Galatians that talks about life in the Spirit and what it looks like to be led by the Spirit of God. And today we're talking about that, walking by the Spirit, and it's going to be kind of like a part one. Next week, Nicole's going to come in and finish the chapter for us, but we're just going to be looking at Galatians 5, 16 through 21 today, and we're calling that the Christian conflict. Last week, Carol so beautifully walked us through the fulfillment of the law in loving God and loving others. She reminded us that Paul has been saying that it is for freedom that Christ set us free. This freedom that Jesus gives us in salvation is not a freedom for us to live in our flesh, to live a selfish life, free and licensing ourselves to do whatever we want. That's not the freedom that we're called to. But actually, in verses 13 through 15, Carol reminded us that Paul said that we were to love by serving others. So let's read this real quick. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. The flesh is that human, sinful nature in us, our selfishness, our egos. We're going to talk about that a lot today. But through love, serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so Paul is reminding the Galatians that the freedom that they've now experienced and been gifted by grace from God in is a freedom to love and serve others. And then Carol even reminded us, if we're not living in the freedom that comes through love and serving others, then we bite and devour one another and we're consumed by one another. It breaks down our relational community. A lack of love, living freely in the flesh, promotes division in relationship and community. And so one of the things that I know my group talked about last week was how hard it is to love people as ourselves sometimes. Carol reminded us that our neighbor is not just the people that are easy to love in life, but Jesus's love actually commands us to love even our enemies, even the neighbor, maybe the coworker, the family member she mentioned that you just can't stand being around. That's the one, and they are the ones that we're called to love in this freedom that Christ has given us. In our group discussion, we landed in this place of, man, like, that is so hard. Living the Christian life and loving all people, it's hard. How are we supposed to do that? How is the question, right? And that's the question I want us to even consider as we're beginning this lesson. How do we do that? How do we fulfill that law that God has said we can do it by just loving others? And Paul responds right away by telling us it's by walking by the Spirit. The only way, the only how, is by the Spirit of God in our lives. And I want to recall us back to a time in the Gospels when Jesus was spending his last hours with his disciples. If you go back to John 14, he's been sitting with them and abiding with them and telling them about what's to come. And he says, you know, in a little while, I will no longer be with you. And you can imagine the disciples, knowing that he was their Savior and Messiah, you can imagine them kind of like freaking out. What do you mean you're not going to be with us? Where are you going? Don't leave us. Have you ever felt that fear when someone you love and depend on is going to be leaving and is going to be gone? What do you do, right? The disciples were asking this, what, why, how? And Jesus encouraged and comforted them with the promise of his Holy Spirit. And he literally told them that they would be better off without him because his Spirit, the Helper, was coming. And I want us to think about that as we hear Paul's encouragement and as we walk through Galatians 5 right now, because all of this message of the gospel of grace in Galatians that we've been talking about is only possible by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Remember when we talked about a couple weeks ago that we're called to run this race? When Paul was asking the Galatians, who hindered you from running so well? You were running well. The race that we're called, remember, God called us to the race. And it is his Spirit that gets us in the race. Our gospel story is that we were dead in our flesh. We were dead in our sinful nature. Apart from God, in nothingness, in helplessness. But God, in his loving kindness and his grace toward us in Jesus Christ, made us alive together with Christ. And we're saved now, living in this freedom by faith in Jesus. That's the story that Paul has been reminding the Galatians of, and that is the story that we identify with. If we have been saved by grace and we've put our faith in Jesus, we walk by the Spirit who called us out of the grave. We live by this Spirit. And this is what verses 16 through 21 say. So if you don't already have your Bible, I hope you have it out. Open it up, circle, underline with me, because Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." I hope you highlighted that. "And things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Paul is giving a strong warning after he's empowering them with the truth of the gospel that they have the Spirit. They get to walk by the Spirit. How do they live in this freedom, called to love God and love all people? They do so by walking by the Spirit. And I want us to just, we're going to break down it verse by verse, because I think this is such a clear passage for us. Paul says, walk by the Spirit. When we walk by the Spirit, what does that mean? Verse 16 told us it means that we conquer the flesh. When you walk by the Spirit, you conquer the flesh. Why does it say, what does verse 16 say? It says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What that means is you escape the power of your sinful nature and your selfishness and your ego. Again, remember when we were apart from God in our flesh on our own, we think we are our own God. We look to ourselves to produce salvation in life, to make much of ourselves. It's a natural part of our human nature. Or we find someone or something to try and save us, to put our hope in. But this verse says that we, by the Spirit of God, do not, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. John Piper, in one of his sermons, I love what he reminds us of. He points to Romans 8:7. He says, as Romans 8:7 says, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. So our mind set on the flesh prior to knowing God, hostile, enemy of him, the Bible language uses. It does not submit to God's law. So a fleshly mindset, a fleshly nature, does not submit to God's law. The basic mark of the flesh is that it is unsubmissive. It does not want to submit to God's absolute authority or rely on God's absolute mercy. Flesh says, like the old TV commercial, I'd rather do it myself. Our flesh, centered around our selfish nature, has this idea that we can do it on our own. But when we walk by the Spirit, when the Spirit of God has come and taken over our lives and has literally breathed new life in us, the flesh no longer wins. You conquer the flesh by the power of God, the Spirit of God alive and at work in you. Remember our theme verse, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. My flesh died. And now the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Spirit of God empowers me in this journey of faith. I walk by him and by his might, not by any flesh strength or anything on my own. So I want you to think about that. We all have selfishness in us. We all have egos. It's our fleshly nature to be self-centered. But what feeds the selfishness? We will not gratify the desires of the flesh if we are walking by the Spirit. We are reminded that we conquer the flesh. And I just want to encourage you, sister, that this is a promise that you can hold on to from verse 16. When you walk by the Spirit, you conquer the flesh. Whatever that fleshly nature in your selfishness is, it will not win. It doesn't win. If you feel like it's winning, the hope and truth of the gospel is that the Spirit of God conquers that in you. That has been crucified when you belong to Jesus. Do you need to remind yourself of this promise and hope? That walking by the Spirit means the flesh doesn't win, but the Spirit of God overcomes. Or maybe there's somebody in your life who you need to remind of that promise, because this life is hard, right? In this question of how do we love others? How do we live free like this? We need the Spirit of God because we can't do it on our own. Jesus told us that in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the power of the Spirit, we can do nothing. And why is that important? Because next thing, when you walk by the Spirit, you experience a war within. When we walk by the Spirit of God, we experience a war within our soul. Why, do you say? Because verse 17 says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are in opposition. This is a battle. This is a war. That's why we use the language of conquer. Because the Spirit of God and His strength and His power so far outweighs the power of any flesh that He conquered it all at the cross of Jesus Christ, in the crucifixion and in the resurrection of our Savior and Lord. But we still have this war within us that we experience every day, with the Spirit of God alive in us, battling against our old self and old nature. This is the Spirit versus the flesh. The Spirit always wins, but the flesh is still holding on, trying to fight its way. It's like that annoying kid just trying to beat up the big guy on the playground because they wanna have their way, but they don't have any power to beat the strong kid. On such a grander scale, our flesh wages war because it's our old self still trying to kick and scream and stay alive. But the power of God in us overcomes. And it is this battle. It's a battle that we experience because the desires of our flesh are still there and present as we live in this present evil age. Remember chapter 1? The hope of the gospel that we have is that God delivered us from this present evil age. But we still live in it. We're on our way, on a journey to eternal glory with Jesus Christ, where all things will be made new, and there will no longer be a war within us, because our hearts will be at rest and at peace with our Savior. We will be one with God, and His community will be filled with peace. But until then, we live in this not yet state, where the Spirit of God reigns in our body, but the old self wages war still with His Spirit. Paul talks about this in a lot of his letters. In Romans chapter 7, you're instructed to go there and read, compare and contrast that passage with this passage in Galatians. But he talks about it with the Ephesians in chapter 4, the Colossians in chapter 3. He talks about it in, actually not him, but Peter and John talk about it in their epistles as well. This idea of the old self and the new self. And the actual word for desires of the flesh in the Greek is epithumia. And it says, it means to set one's heart upon a thing, to long for, to covet, to desire. And if you think about this, this reminds us back to one of the lessons we had with Natalie, where she talked about the idols of our heart and the different things that we long for and want. And I want us to think about this because the war within us is not always or only evil desires. Think about this, ladies. Our flesh often wants a good thing, often wants to be in relationship with people. Our flesh often wants to succeed at work. Our flesh wants to be a good mom or a good grandma or a good friend. all of those things are good desires. But this word for desires is it's a over desire. It's a too big of a desire. It's taken the wrong kind of shape in our heart. And Tim Keller says it this way. He says, the main problem our heart has is not so much desires for bad things, but our over desires for good things. When a good thing becomes our God, it creates over desires. Paul says that sinful desires become deep things that drive and control us. Sin creates in us the feeling that we must have this or that or the other. Sin does this weird thing in us. Our sinful nature and our flesh turns a good desire to be a good mom and to protect our children into, if that's the over desire and driving desire of your life, that you start to now live and spiral into anxiety and fear and frenzy and create an impossible situation for your kids to live in because you have such a fear of protecting them, or maybe even just a good desire to love your children, but then your children become the center of your life. That can become an over desire. What Natalie mentioned to us, that can become an idol. For those of us in the workplace, doing well, working hard for the Lord, succeeding so that we can bless other people, good desire. But when my success is so important that I'm willing to trample on others or maybe shortcut in some kind of way in the process, lie, be dishonest, and lose my integrity, that becomes an over desire that is sin. And it creates in me a feeling that if I don't get that promotion, my identity is shot. I no longer have a place. This is what I'm living for. So I want us to consider these over desires, not just bad desires. We're going to talk about this in a minute when we look at the list of the works of the flesh. But where do you experience war within you? What may be good things in your life? War with the Spirit of God trying to take over, rather than letting him be the ruler and the authority of your life that you submit to. Where is that war within you? I want you to think about that. Process that with your friends. Ask for help. Confess our sins to one another, the Bible tells us to do. Spend some time there. And one of my other questions is, I want you to consider, if there is no war, if you're like, I don't have a war, I think I'm good, what does that say about you? Because I would actually say the very opposite of your good. If there is no war within, where the Spirit of God is trying to get rid of your old self, the fleshly nature, then my question might be, is the Spirit of God there? Is he alive and leading your life? Because if there's no war, my fear is that you think you're good when in actuality, you're not good. You're living in that still fleshly nature life, lived by the flesh, not by the Spirit of God. Next, when we walk by the Spirit, we conquer the flesh, we experience a war within us, and lastly, verse 18, I want you to know, you live free. You live free. What does the verse say? Oh, sorry, wrong one. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, which means the Spirit of God is the power. He is the, if we're thinking about a plane or a train, he is the engine. He's the source of what's possible as you journey on your way in the race you're called to. If you are led by his Spirit, you're no longer under the law. You live free. And this is what we've been talking about the whole book of Galatians. The Judaizers have come and tried to burden the Galatians with extra law, saying that they have to do and abide by the Mosaic law. They have to get circumcised. They have to do these things. But when we are led by the Spirit, we are freed from the burden of the law. We are freed from the power of the law. The law doesn't reign in our lives. When we fail, when we sin, we get to repent and come back to Jesus and find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. We're free. You live free when you walk by the Spirit. Free to love, free to dance, free to experience all that He has for you. And I'm excited. We don't get to dip into the next verses, but you're free to live and see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Nicole's going to talk us through that, what it looks like to experience God in His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What a life to be lived in the Spirit of God, free from the law, free from our flesh, free from sin. But before we look at the free life, let's go to where Paul takes us. Because in the next verse, he says, now, the works of the flesh are evident. And he gives us a list of the works of the flesh. And I want us to break those down. Because for all of us, again, Galatians is chipping away and trying to crucify the legalistic heart in us. So for any of you in your study who went through this list and just made sure to check off what's not true of you, we're going to talk here in just a minute. Because I think Paul makes sure this is true of all of us. So he goes on in verses 19 and 20 and 21 to list the works of the flesh, the evidence of a fleshly life, evidence of the flesh at work, warring in your life or leading and taking over your life is categorized. If you noticed this, he mentioned sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. These are sexual sins. And then he listed idolatry and sorcery, or what we would call witchcraft. These are religious sins. Social and relational sins came up with enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Notice, too, that these things are both attitudes and results of fleshly living. Divisions, dissensions, rivalries, those are like relational conflict. The relationship in the community is breaking down because of these works of the flesh. And then lastly, drinking sins. Some of us, when we read orgies, we think of a big, crazy sexual party. But in the Greek, what it was talking about was drunkenness and orgies, just an excessive abuse or addiction of alcohol, wine. And so Paul is giving us not an exhaustive, comprehensive list, because what does he say at the end here? I want you to see this. Verse 21, he's listing them out. And remember what I said to circle? And things like these. These are works of the flesh, and then all the other things like these are evidence of the fleshly nature in us. So ladies, if you're like, nope, not true of me, not true of me, not true of me, not true of me, I'm good. Let's go a little deeper. Let's examine a little further and see what other things like these might be present in our life. Because I want you to consider, which of these do you see in your life? Works of the flesh, at war with the Spirit of God in you. Where do you see yourself in the list and the things like these? What are the desires, over desires, remember that we talked about, that cause these things in you? What causes the jealousy? What is it in you? I want you to think about it. If you say you experience envy sometimes, what are you envious of? Who are you envious of? Maybe you're dabbling in some kind of sorcery. These sins, these fleshly natures, are attempts to have a spiritual connection, believing there's a God, but just doing it on your own way. Witchcraft is so real in our culture right now. So dark and so divisive and of the flesh. Is there any kind of sorcery or witchcraft that you might dabble in, that you might even think to play with? Work of the flesh. Sexual sins. Paul, he's listing the nature of these sins to show us that the works of the flesh are true of all of us in human nature. And again, like I said, for those of us who want to have a checklist and just make sure we don't do these things, we can't because we don't know what the other things like these are until they're at war with the Spirit of God in us. And so I want us to consider, as Paul warned, this is not a checklist. It's not comprehensive. It's not it. That's no. These are warnings for everybody. Works of the flesh for us to evaluate. Because what does he say? His final words in this portion. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, ladies, before we get too far, I want us to remember, we do not mean, Paul does not mean that if you do these things every so often or once in a while, your drunkenness, that one time I got drunk in a party, now eliminates my salvation and the grace of God in my life and I'm not going to heaven and I don't get the kingdom of God. No, that is not true. That's a false statement. But the warning is that if these things dominate your life, if these fleshly works are all over, then that is a sign that your life is led by the flesh and not by the Spirit of God. And Paul says, a life led by the flesh does not inherit the kingdom of God. God's word says that it is only by his grace, through faith, in the power of his Spirit, that we live and experience and inherit the kingdom of God. And so there is grace for us, for those who have these works of the flesh in our lives that are warring with the Spirit. There is grace upon grace to come back to Jesus and say, I'm sorry, I need your Spirit's help to overcome, to conquer my flesh, because this war within me is real and I want to live free. So I pray that each and every one of us would fall on our knees, desperate for the Spirit of God to come in and have his way, so that we can walk by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. And next week, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we can grow the fruit of his Spirit in our lives. We actually live by the Spirit because we belong to Jesus. It's no longer us who live, but Christ lives in us. Who do you belong to? What does your life say? Do you belong to the fleshly nature? Or do you belong to the one who gave himself for you? That Spirit of our living God, he reigns and he wins. Walking by the Spirit is not just the absence of these fleshly things, but it is the presence of his Spirit and the fruit of his Spirit in our lives. And that's what we're going to look at next week. So I don't want you to lose the hope of how he works and how he shows up in our lives. But I do want us to take some time to reflect, to see where we need him to come, to conquer our flesh, to win the war within, so that we can live free.